Wait, I'll show you something.
Well, just
his pants are in focus.
Hey, he's got pants on. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hello, and welcome to episode 220 of the Raceable Podcast. I'm Andy Welfley, broadcasting from an early, rainy California morning. And I'm joined by Tim Wassum and Johnny Gamber, who both have no doubt have had more caffeine than I had today. So I have my tea. I'm getting on that. Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, I actually had a tragedy this morning, and I made a French press and forgot about it. So it was like stewing for like 35 minutes before I realized.
Oh, man.
Just got some mud.
Wait.
Just drink. Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
I just get a spoon and just eat it. But I did
work.
Catch up, so I've got some coffee.
Nice. That's good. Well, it is just about the end of 2024. I have a feeling this is our last episode of the year. And we're here with a little roundup of our recommendations in reading, writing, watching, all sorts of things. I'm not going to mention this last one that Johnny added in there.
If you're not on Patreon, you can see his face as he tried to get me to read that. So, we're all 12 years old.
We mentioned a lot of the stuff that we consume. We're also going to make some heartfelt recommendations and plugs for our favorite stuff, whether or not we mention it on the show. And we're going to talk a little bit about a new segment that we want to do next year. Just an idea Tim had based on the book that we read about the history of the notebook. So before we do that, let's mix it up a little bit and talk about some fresh points. So Tim, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I really only got one. But it hits on so many levels, you guys, for me. So there's a new release, like a reissue that they put out of Tom Petty's album Long After Dark, which is one that didn't get a lot of, I might have talked about it in the last time we chatted, I can't remember, but like, doesn't get a lot of attention. Actually, like, I had a song pop up in my algorithm when my, you know, my album ended and it started just playing random stuff. And it played this Tom Petty song. And I was like, oh my gosh, the song's amazing. Why do I not know this song? And it's because it's a deep cut from this album. And it's just one that I haven't spent a lot of time with, but they re-released it with like some bonus stuff. And then they've got some merch that's going out with the album, as they do these days, especially for deceased artists, you know, you can't tour. So step up your merch game. But they have a...
We still must extract value from you, even though you're dead.
They put out a composition notebook. And so it's a Tom Petty composition notebook. And in the post, the original post about this, I learned that was Tom Petty's favorite writing tool. Like, that's what he did all of his, like, songwriting in, was in composition notebooks, which is cool to learn. But now, the last time we were... I think it was the last time we talked about... Or the one before where I was talking about seeing handwritten stuff. My favorite feature from that is that the first few pages of the notebook have like a facsimile of Tom Petty's handwritten lyrics to You Got Lucky.
That's right up your alley.
Which is super duper cool. And so then the cover is really awesome. It's sold out right now, but I mean, they're going to be back, but it's got all these illustrations of, a lot of these are just like Tom Petty images that you see. Some of them are like drawings that represent things that are in the song. Some are from the like kind of iconic music video that they put out. I think it was like one of the first MTV videos for You Got Lucky, when they're like out in the desert and red motorcycles and stuff. It's sort of like a Mad Max feel, but it's a super cool notebook. And so I've got one on the way. They're sold out, but they're going to have more. And yeah, I'm super excited about that. And there's also a pen. They put out a pen, and it's a awesome throwback to those pens where you turn and it like,
oh yeah, look at this pen.
It's a really good looking pen. It's only $8.50.
It's a good deal.
Probably writes terribly, but it's
tough. We can fix. We'll work on that when it comes.
The old floater pens took that mini ballpoint refill that like everybody makes, so you could make it write better.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a way.
Concept.
I was wondering if a space pen refill would fit into it.
Yeah, they make one where it's brass and it has a couple points where you can tear it off. And if you tear off all of them, it'll fit in one of those little itty bitty pens. I mean, not that I've geeked out
on the space pens. solutions. Yeah. And so it's the Straight Into Darkness floating pen. So it's from, you know, from the album, but there's like this cool like Cadillac looking car and you turn it and it drives across and then disappears into the darkness at the bottom of the pen.
That's awesome.
So yeah. So Tom Petty, handwritten lyrics, notebooks, pens.
Check.
So I was very excited.
Like everything Tim Wessel could possibly want.
Yes. Yeah. No kidding. Just throw a baseball in there somehow and he'll be happy. Tom Petty autographed baseball. I'm going to go to eBay.
Okay.
You guys just talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about your sounds. Nice. Johnny, how about you? I'm sorry, Tim, was that all your fresh points?
Yep. That's all I got.
So 6 days ago, the new Field Notes came out and mine are not here. According to the tracking, they're not coming until Saturday. So I don't have them in hand.
Mine haven't even been shipped yet, according to mine.
The holiday shipping poo. But so if you don't want spoilers, like go away for a minute. But if you don't mind, these are called the vintage and like they're very Field Notes-y. They have like a linen cover. They have gold embossing and the inside of the cover sort of looks like the end pages from an old book. And like, they're just really cool looking. And these are embossed, not debossed, which looks harder.
Yeah.
With the gold.
These are my favorite whenever Field Notes does like a theme that isn't like specific. They do it more, it's just like they're trying to capture a feel or a certain kind of like style of the old days. And so I feel like they do this often with winter stuff. Like,
yeah, Resolution.
It reminds me a lot of, was it Resolution, the one from years ago where 10 years ago where they had the gold, the three colors?
Yeah.
Ambition.
Yeah. Ambition. Ambition.
Yeah.
Well, Resolution was another one, wasn't it?
Didn't they do that recently too?
Yeah. That had like
Ambition was
awesome. Cleaner. Ambition. Yeah. And they even had a color similar to this, but those covers were thinner and like because of the gold foiling, they were all sort of trimmed down a little bit because they have to be sanded to take the foil. But
These
look like I can't wait to get them.
The clean paper is really nice, and then they're doing like it's like ruled, but also dot grid. They're calling dot ruled, which I think is a neat thing because
I can dig it.
I've been using more ruled lately.
And they're perforated pages.
Oh, are they all perforated?
I didn't realize that.
And I see
the
that.
The cool thing is it's Field Notes, so the staples are gold too, because why not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's been a while since I was like actually tracking them. It's like, oh, cool, new Field Notes. It'll be a surprise when they come, but I'm tracking the heck out of these.
Yeah.
They've been using this paper from Domtar, if I'm pronouncing that right, for the interior lately, which is like not my favorite, but it seems like they've switched to it. Maybe the cream one will not make a mess of ink.
Yeah.
But they're very nice for pencil. Can't complain that a pocket notebook doesn't work for fountain pens.
Yeah.
And if you're a subscriber, you get gift paper, which matches the inside, which you could cover my work with.
Yeah. I still have my gift paper. Ooh, that's interesting. Are you going to do that?
Yep. Yes.
Doing it right now.
It comes. I'm like, how big?
Right.
Make a couple little books.
They insert flying around.
Which one was that had the gift paper before? It was the one where they glued the side.
Yeah.
Black Ice.
What was that?
Black Ice. I think that's right. Yeah. I still had it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can find that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't watch the video to it yet. I don't want to watch the video until I come.
Yeah.
But I think, Andy, you're right. Like, they always nail winter.
Yeah.
Was that the winter 2011, it was white and inside had gray paper. I don't remember what it's called, Sub-Zero Snowflake? Or something.
Sub-Zero, yeah.
It was awesome. It had the really cool video where they made a snow globe.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But yeah, that's cool. And other winter releases, Navalure, which you're still supposed to pronounce Narwhal, released a Christmas pen.
All right.
So did you guys see this one?
No.
So
I'm looking at it right now,
I feel like some of their pens are ugly, but I really like the Nautilus because it's got a little extra, but it's still pretty understated. And
the clip is a little much for me.
Yeah. I don't know where I stand on the clip because Christmas, but also like, man, that's big.
So the clip looks like a Christmas tree, which like is cool thematically, but like, I guess I don't have that much Christmas spirit.
Yeah, and the clip is sterling silver, so I'm wondering if it's going to make it heavy. But the clip on this pen's always sort of the weak point, the only thing that looks cheap, and they're always a little wappajong. Mm. But yeah, they haven't sold out yet as of Thursday morning. The gold nib ones are.
Oh yeah, all the 14 karat
nib ones are. Yeah, and they use resin. Like they have a pen that looks almost just like this that they use resin with, but it doesn't have the little pearl windows. So I mean, I like when they keep with ebonite, but this looks really pretty. Yeah. And I got the one last year after Christmas when they had like a couple left, but I forgot and I didn't use it yet. But it's $224, which for a pen like this is not terrible. So they're really well made. And if they don't have the nib size you want, all the nibs are interchangeable. Mm. So that's cool. And I'm good.
I was going to say, I got to give a shout out to their like product photo team for this. I'm putting it in the Zoom chat for this pen. This is pretty incredible. The original fall fountain pen, it is stuck like Excalibur into a pile of like smoldering coffee beans. My iPhone background. Like that looks looks amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to
just like
that
smoke
one.
rising off, but I was like, what's happening here? Oh, coffee beans. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
sorry
they
to interrupt, but those
pretty big range. Like the original and the original plus are all well under $100 and like really sturdy pens. But I've only had one of them where I had to adjust the nib like a tiny bit, but otherwise they always work out of the box like a pen should. You know. Duh. I only have one other point, and that's a question to you guys. You guys got anything cool on your holiday wish lists that's writing related? You know, pencils, pens, notebooks, inkwell.
Man, I sure do wish I had a Levenger True Writer. I'm just kidding.
Colors.
Pick your top 35 colors.
Let me see if I'm moving to a third binder for my Levenger pen.
Terrible.
Go on right here.
It's hard because maybe a character flaw. I tend to like, if there's like a stationary thing that I want, I tend to just buy it for myself.
Yeah.
Which makes it hard to shop for, but
yeah.
I don't know. I've been thinking about, I don't know, just like, I have this nice, so long time ago, I can't even remember who made it for me, but somebody in the group, I ordered it from them. I'm showing this on video right now, a really nice like leather binder for two field notes in there. And I just kind of string this together. I've been trying to think about using this more, and I've been thinking about getting something like this, but maybe a little bit slimmer and also not leather. So not quite sure that somebody stamped, it's hard to see here over the years, it kind of faded. It says, don't panic. If that's right in the middle, which is fine. So. And then just like a nice yellow band. So I don't know. I've been trying to think about what sort of like the perfect field notes cover is for me and what that might look like. And if that exists out in the world, that's something I'd probably want.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Tim? Like a couple weeks ago, I would have probably said no, because I've just been so in the mindset of just trying to use stuff that I have. But I think because of this new Field Notes edition, I think I'm finally pushed over the edge. I think the thing that I would put on my Christmas list is to resubscribe. I haven't been a subscriber for a long time. I think I'm ready. I've been using a lot of Field Notes too. When I got those Jason Isbell ones, I just plowed through four of those real quickly. And I was like really just enjoying being back into using more Field Notes. So that's the thing that comes to mind. I think I'm ready to join back into the
subscriber pool. So when they have their sales, the sales apply to subs, which is cool.
Hmm.
And then when you're a subscriber, you get a discount on everything, including your next subscription, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
I always forget about that. Like when that mug and book set came out, I'm like, wow, that's kind of expensive. And I'm like, oh, I get a subscriber discount. Oh, no, I just bought it.
You don't have a sale going on now, though, do you? You're referring to like Black Friday or something?
No, they do them a couple times a year. I think this year or last year when I resubscribed, it was like some crazy sale.
Cool. I'll keep an eye out.
Then how about you? What's on your wish list?
Oh, I had one thing on my wish list that I dropped a lot of hints about and I hope appears. Narwhal, I don't understand. They do a 365 series that I've never seen except for some ugly Halloween pen they made once, but they did a Nautilus that's solid titanium. Oh. Like with the portal windows and everything. And I'm pretty sure they're gone. So I didn't drop hints. I'm like sending the link over and over to Frankie. Like, I need this. I won't be happy without this. Like divorce papers without them is kitchen. So I don't know.
I will have nothing to sign those, sign the papers with.
Except the one she gave me last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was, I mean, that's pretty far. It's not like I need another pen. But I mean, I guess I would love if Bright Notepads would start making pocket notebooks again. Mm. Or like different stuff.
But yeah,
in a while.
I don't know. Their themes and their execution of those themes are just always so good. Like I'm sorry they don't do that anymore, but I wish they would. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Save face.
Was the one that they made, that purple one, when we did our party there, was that the last, like pocket notebook that they did?
Yeah.
The They've purple one with the geometric pattern?
Yeah, they did a couple bigger ones, like the Voyager and like an engineering one, but that they haven't done pocket notebooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. Those were great.
Yeah.
Chris, if you're listening.
Come on, Chris.
Is it us?
Well, that's all I got. How about you, Andy?
Yeah, I have a few things. One is something that I, just got a few days ago. You know, every year for Black Friday, Blackwing does like a Labs pencil, right? Like a Labs Blackwing. And usually, I'll be honest, usually they're a little lame, right? Like they, one year they were like, hey, what if we put like a holographic foil stamp on it, but we're only going to include one in the dozen that we send you. And I can't remember before, they've just done little like experiments with materials like that. And they're just not really, I think, very interesting, compelling. But this year, they did something that's a little bit more meaningfully different. Try something and I hope they stick with it. I was really excited. It is a triangular barrel Blackwing. So it is, again, so we're recording video. We're doing a Zoom call just for us that will publish the Patreon feed. So if you want to see this, come be a Patreon member. But this Blackwing has a triangular barrel. It's a very kind of soft triangle. And it is great. Like if anybody, early listeners of the show, know I really enjoy a triangular barrel pencil. It's been a while. I've had so many other pencils to explore. But this one is great. If not only is it triangular, it is also a brown stained wood. So it actually goes really well with this. I was just showing this like leather cover, but it goes really well with that. It's attractive and it is triangular. So it's very comfortable. Still sharpens like a champ inside the, like a Blackwing one stage sharpener. The only gripe is that they use balanced graphite, which I would rather, rather affirm, but it's fine. It's still better than a soft, but it's very nice pencil. I've been using it. I took it on vacation with me. I've been using it all week. So I'm happy about this. Blackwing, make this part of your regular lineup, please. Or make some more like volumes with this, with the triangular barrel, because I really like it. I know that it's harder because like the wood shapes that they have to kind of like clench together are irregular shaped. They're like a right triangle almost, with, that they have to kind of like clinch, like turn offset and clinch. So I know that it's a little bit harder to do, but if anybody can do it, they can do it. So,
well, they did do it.
They figured it out. So
they
feel
did,
like
they did.
Probably a lot of work to make the first one. It's a lot easier to make the second one.
Oh yeah.
So, and I think they are looking at the website right now. They're sold out. So I'm glad that I got a batch. I'll send you, did either of you guys get one?
I did. I don't know where they are.
Okay. Tim, I still need to send you the knockoff Blackwings from Canada that I got. So I'll include one of these in there just so you have one.
Cool.
They're really nice.
Yeah.
Thanks. So good call, Blackwing. I would love some of these in like, actually, I would love to see this in like the 602 colors, like that gray with the thing on the side. So
that'd be a great idea.
That might be really fun. So yeah, that is that. Another thing I was going to mention is
Somebody posted in the group, but I've also just been following it on YouTube. Have either of you been following the Adam Savage pencil saga?
No.
So Adam Savage, you know, the Mythbusters guy who is now just a YouTuber. He makes stuff. He is just very excited about a lot of things. His pencil of choice for years and years is the Papermate Sharpwriter, you know, the like little yellow kind of all-in-one mechanical pencil. And it's that one where you like, I think you turn the tip to extend it. They've never impressed me. Not that big a fan of it, but I know like it has a certain aesthetic, like a workshop aesthetic, and you know, they do what you need to do. That's always been his thing. But recently Papermate changed it. They do it in a different factory and the plastic is different. It's a different color. The eraser is worse. He's really like not happy with it. So he had a whole video about it, sort of about design, how these things happen. He talked about how he like tried to call Papermate and try to get some like custom Savage Industries pencils made. And a bunch of people just over the last like several months when he posted this have sent him like, he's like, oh, hey, my Office Depot and, you know, my hometown has like a dozen of them on the shelf and a dozen packages of the old kind. And so Adam Savage would like call them and get them to send it to him. So he has like his hundreds in stock. So
he's good. He is good.
And also like a bunch of pencil people. I wonder if anybody who listens to the show has written to him and told him like, oh, hey, like you should try this pen, this mechanical pencil. This captures that aesthetic. This is like that too. So he's done all that. But then also Pentel reached out to him and sent him a really just a big box of like just a bunch of their mechanical pencils. And Pentel pencils are really nice. Like the Graph Gear is really nice. I've always liked the Sharp series mechanical pencils that they have. I'm trying to think of, it's these. I'm posting the link in the chat here, but I'll have a link in show notes too. But it's the original ones come in a bunch of colors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of that yellow color. And they also gave him,
right?
Yeah, they also gave him this really good one. Is it this one? It's the Pentel Smash is what it's called. And they have it in like this kind of like orangish color with a black grip. And that's also really nice. So it's all mechanical pencils, which is, you know, a little bit outside of the show's purview, but I just like that, you know, Adam Savage is one of us. He geeks out on pencils like very deeply. I think we mentioned some of those other videos on the show before, but that was really good. I would love to know his view on wooden pencils and kind of why he doesn't use them. And I think I know why. I think he just doesn't want to mess around with like trying to resharpen it when he's like in the middle of a project, right? Like I think the mechanical pencil is really his bag. But yeah, that's, and oh, while he was, going, somebody sent him, apparently Papermate made McDonald's. They made Sharpwriters for McDonald's. And so they have some with them. The McDonald's logo on it. And he was just like, oh my God. He's like, my friend Tom Sachs, who's a designer in New York, is going to just freak out about this. So yeah, it was very fun. I don't know. One thing I like about him, he's kind of that quintessential, just like enthusiast. He's really interested in a lot of things and he knows a lot about a lot of things. I think the first Adam Savage video I ever watched, he was at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., looking at the original model they used for the Enterprise on Star Trek and just talking about like design, like little minute design choices that like the original producers made of the Enterprise. And yeah, I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So Tim has faded off into the background.
There you go.
Checking in on the dog.
Oh, buddy.
I had a dog with a hurting leg and he just limped up to me.
Aww.
And just was standing here whimpering. So I had to go on mute for a second and give him a scratch because he's just struggling. So
poor guy.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
You feel. He made it downstairs, though. That's the part where I'm like, he's probably like, I don't know how to get back upstairs.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll mention is I just got back on Sunday from Hawaii. I went for a few days. Erica planned a last minute trip. After I got laid off I was feeling a little bummed, and she was like, hey, do you want to go to Hawaii? Because what else do you do when you lose your job than, you know, take a vacation? But Hawaii is great. It is so fun. It is, it's so weird because there are like little pieces of it that remind me very much of like when I was in the Philippines, like just certain architecture or landscape or something like that. But then also like you're in America, you're like, they take my money and they have like Walmart's thing. So it was fun. I found a lot of pressed pennies. That was really fun. I really enjoy a tourist trap. I think that there's always things there. And there's no bigger tourist trap on the Hawaiian Islands than the Dole Plantation. So the pineapple fields and the sort of like, there's a big Dole gift shop. And there's also a train, the Pineapple Express, that will take you kind of through the fields and they'll show you different trees and they'll give you the history of Dole, Dole Fruit Canning Company, that conveniently leaves out a few things like how an ancestor of James Dole overthrew the Hawaiian government, like the sovereign government of Hawaii. And we didn't talk about that part.
You just
asked. Specifically so they can make money from it. So yeah, it was great. We went to a couple, like we went to a history museum there and a really cool art museum. It was really fun. So I made some pressed pennies. I'm trying to think, of course, did some at Dole. I have a pressed penny. This is kind of hard to see, but it's, man, I didn't have any shiny pennies, so I had to use a Dole penny. It is just a cup of Dole Whip. Tonight. You know, very Dole thing. Yeah. So I got some good tiki drinks. It was fun. I got a vintage Aloha shirt. So Hawaii, never been before. It's a long ass plane ride. It was like 5 hours from California. So that's a good 10-hour plane flight for you guys.
I joked about this in our text thread, but what time zone is Hawaii in?
It is two further from California. So,
okay.
So it's 5 hours away from you guys.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I had no idea what time it's Hawaiian Standard Time, I think. But yeah,
own time zone.
Yeah. It's way out there, right? It's just way in the middle of the ocean. So, but yeah, gorgeous weather. It was, you know, December and it was 80 degrees and sunny and it rained a little bit, but that's okay. So yeah, really good time in Hawaii. I did go to somebody in the group recommended a stationery shop that I am now, it's called Mono, M-O-N-O, and they didn't have a great pencils selection. They had really good selection of traveler stuff. I did buy, I don't know, I like a good writing pad, and it is a Midori paper writing pad. And what's interesting is one of the corners has like a notch cut out of it, so I don't know why. I just have never seen this particular Midori writing pad, so pick that up. It's designed for writer's comfort. So that is it for me for Fresh Points. Yeah, so we kind of switched things around and we were going to do a year-end edition of Tools of the Trade. And basically some of the things that you're recommending and listening to, and that you might recommend just kind of like for, you know, lasting power. Tim, how about you? What are you thinking?
Yeah. So at least the way I was thinking about this was like things that I might have recommended a long time ago, but if like something's still, yeah. So assuming I'm hearing this right, but just like, I was trying to think about a book that just like has stuck with me. So we're going to, you know, talk about books and things we've watched and things we've listened to. But like a book that stuck with me that I like consistently recommend to people and might be surprising based on what it is, but I recommend to like all sorts of people, not even super fans of this, but Bruce Springsteen's memoir, Born to Run, is a fantastic read. It is so good. I read it once very quickly. It's one that you can tell like 100% he wrote it himself, like in a good way. It just sounds like his voice. It's not like a ghostwritten thing. And I've heard him say in interviews that he did write it himself. He didn't have a ghostwriter. He had an editor. But yeah, it's a fantastic book. And if you get the audiobook, he reads it too, which is just like, you know, How cool would that be? Have Bruce Springsteen talk at you for 14 hours or whatever, how long that the book is. But it's really good.
I imagine he's like, hey, man, here's the book.
The book was like, got some extra attention because he talked for the first time publicly about his struggles with depression, which now he talks about a lot in different like areas that he's been like, you know, in therapy and struggled with like pretty intense depression since like the 70s. So, I mean, like for a long time.
Which is amazing to hear because he just seems like he is like the most sort of like nonchalant, like affable guy.
Got it all together. Yeah. Like it's all good, man. Like he's just got that vibe to him. But yeah, he had some really dark times that he talks about pretty openly, which I knew for me, as somebody who, you know, at times deals with depression or anxiety and things, hearing it from someone like that for kind of the reason you're describing it was really helpful. So that's a great book. For viewing, one thing that I would definitely recommend always, but especially now that it's finally on streaming, is Northern Exposure.
Mm.
If you've never watched the show,
Northern Exposure, where is it streaming?
It's on Prime. I was Googling it like, you know, a few times a year. Like, when is it going to stream? Why is this show not on streaming? I don't understand. Which ended up being because of all the music they play in it. They're having trouble figuring out like all the music rights for this show because there's a radio station that's like always playing music on the show, Chris in the Morning. But show is fantastic. That was a show I discovered through a friend like in college and then ended up getting the DVDs on Netflix like in the mail and watched the whole series that way back in the day and eventually like bought the whole series. But yeah, it's on Prime now, so you should watch it.
So, and then speaking of back in the day, I watched it on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. It's like 30. Oh my God. Never mind.
It's such a good, weird show. It's hard to describe. Yeah. I mean, it's like part of it's like kind of a screwball, like a New York guy is off in, you know, Alaska to be a doctor. But then there's these episodes where it's like the theme is War and Peace by Tolstoy. And there's like this obscure Russian like chess master who's like come into town and everybody's like checking in on this chess. There's some that are like all in like a dreamscape. It gets weird, but in like a really fun way. Excellent show.
Yeah.
And then the other for viewing, if you haven't watched either of the Beatles documentaries on Disney, Get Back, of course, which is the one that's like 92 hours long, which is just, I think it's like seven, a really long. But then the new one, there's a new one called Beatles 64, which is all about like the first year that they came to the States, like when they hit it big. And that one was, I just watched that. That just came out a couple weeks ago and it was excellent. For like music, shocker, I'm going to mention Johnny Blue Skies again because I think I've talked about Sturgill Simpson, Johnny Blue Skies in the last like four episodes. But
see the guy who made that new Twitter replacement?
Johnny Blue Skies? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's him.
Okay. Yes. So they named that after him.
Yes. Yeah, named it after himself in the singular. Yeah. Because it's just one of the band members who made it. So yeah, Sturgill Simpson, his new band, new project. It's called Johnny Blue Skies. They have an album called Passage du Des. I can't speak French. Passage du Desert is what I'll call it. But du Desir or Passage of Desire. And then MJ Linderman is another artist that I've really gotten into that you think you guys would really like. He was in a band called Wednesday and he's based out of Asheville, actually, but he's getting some pretty big recognition. Really good indie rock stuff. And then, you know, for writing, if you haven't bought yourself a Parker Jotter XL, you should do that. I'll leave it there.
So
it's a pen, but like, go ahead.
I got one of those and I really didn't like it. I gave it to one.
Really? Was it just the size?
What makes it XL?
It's a little bigger. It's like 20% bigger than a normal Parker Jotter.
Oh.
And the Parker Jotter is too, I have these like sausage fingers. So it's just, it was always just felt like too
was
dainty.
Was it longer
and
or the girthy?
It's girthier. A little girther and a little longer.
Okay.
Like it doesn't feel that different unless you're looking at it. Oh, but they don't use the resin. They only have like that textured metal, and I just didn't like that.
Oh, that, yeah. See, I liked that. And maybe I was used to it because of all the, in my early days of getting into all this stuff, I really was enjoying like Karas Customs pens and stuff like that were that anodized metal. So that didn't bug me at all. But I have three of them. I have two in my office and one that I carry in my bag, and I love them. And they're not expensive. They're on sale all the time. Like $13 or $14, something like that. But that'd be the recommendation. And then my all-time course, the Blackwing Natural, is kind of like the pencil I use more than anything else that I talk about all the time, but can't get enough of it. And I don't have anything like new and obscure to like drop on people because I've just been using the same stuff.
Which is good. Actually, that's what we should be doing. What kind of podcast is that though?
He just keeps using the same stuff. Well, the one thing, hang on, I might have one more, which is going to be something we talk about, but I don't know if they still make it. But it's a right note.
Live update, folks.
Live update. Checking. Here we go. Here they do. Absolutely. The Write Notepads classic hardcover lined notebook.
Oh, yeah. Remember durable. We got the first one, we got a beta test.
Durable and elegant for everyday use, it says on their website.
Yeah.
But I love this thing.
Yeah.
So that's my commonplace notebook, is that guy.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's
cool.
Me.
Okay.
Those are my
So I'm having trouble like narrowing it down to stuff that I would still recommend, but with that in mind, these are ones I would say like, oh, if you were ignored me the other times, check these books out now. How to ADHD, which I read at the very beginning of the year, and it's billed as the ADHD book that's ADHD friendly. So like everything is really short. And I found it's a good book to give people who don't have ADHD and wonder why you do the weird stuff you do sometimes.
This is what it looks like inside my brain.
Like spouse, like, hey, you should read this book. I like it a lot. But since then, my middle son has been diagnosed. So like, you know, we're encouraging people in the family to learn a little more about it. That, you know, it's not running around the classroom. It's all the stuff you don't see. So, you know, if you have ADHD or someone in your family has it, it's definitely worth a read. I think it was a bestseller. I'm sure that libraries have many copies of it. And we sort of had like an aborted book club with, oh crap, what's his name? Matthew
Battles.
Palimpsest. Yeah, sorry. But he had a book called Library and Unquiet History that was just like, you have to read it if you like books. I wound up reading like half a dozen books about books in the middle of the year, not on purpose. And that was probably my favorite one, even though there were some good novels in there. And lastly, I would pick Sick Souls, Healthy Minds, How William James Can Save Your Life by John Cage. He's a philosophy professor, but he writes about, you know, philosophy as something that could actually affect your life and something realistic. So, like, he's written a book called Hiking with Nietzsche, where he read about a really difficult period of his life, and he went into the Alps where Nietzsche was and got to stay in Nietzsche's room. He has one about Thoreau and work that I haven't finished reading yet, but just like really good stuff, like totally relatable to normal people. And like, you know, if all philosophy professors were like Kim, more of us would have jobs, or more of them would have jobs. And yeah,
more people would read philosophy.
The set of shrinking at the bookstore. So for viewing, like the best stuff I saw all year would include Gangs of London and Sherwood, which I've talked about recently. I've been rewatching Mike Flanagan's horror series with my kids, and like they all bear a second viewing, the even better second time. I actually didn't like Biomatter that much, but the second time I watched it, I think it might be my favorite one. But you know, they're not that scary. Only Rosie got scared sometimes.
No.
And then which one? The House of Usher was kind of violent, some of them, but that was the least scary. Yeah. So for music, I don't want to mention one of them because he got canceled and then uncanceled, but a certain guy who wrote an album whose first words are one assassination, it's really good. Moving on. So The Cure.
Googling.
The Cure put a new album out not that long ago, and it's like so freaking good. It sounds like, you know, it came out of 35 years ago. There's some like, you know, really long guitar intros, and then you're like, oh, here's the song. But it's called Songs of a Lost World 2, which is also like one of the most Cure titles you can have. And you know, Robert Plant's all over Instagram because he still wears lipstick and has crazy hair and just like does not give an F.
Did you say Robert Plant?
I said Robert Plant, Robert Smith.
And you're also just like,
let Robert Plant
say his name.
Just completely, yeah.
So Yeah. I've heard really good things about that album, and The Cure is a band that I haven't like spent much time with, but like I've heard lots of good stuff, so I need to check it out.
I mean, don't do it if you're feeling sad already. Pick up from that. But yeah, and Arab Strap, I'm totally fine with it. I don't give a something anymore. It's definitely one of my top albums.
I don't give a typewriter bill anymore.
Yeah. And for writing, last year for Christmas, I got my first Narwhal Nautilus in Antheus Violet, or whatever you say that. It has like purple hardware, and I would never go for that. And also, I thought that they were a little overpriced and never got into them, but like, I think by the new year, I'd ordered like two more. And I've got like maybe 10 by now, not much more than that. But it's such a great pen, and it's kind of silly to have more than one because it's like super workhorse. It's a piston fill. It holds like so much ink, so comfortable to use, so durable. They don't dry out. They don't leak in the cap. They expanded their range of black ones with different hardware, billing it as like everyday pen. And speaking of black, the other thing that was new this year that I don't think I've talked about is Diamine Onyx ink, which is like, it sucks the light out of the room, black ink.
Yeah.
And
I remember that one.
The other one, Levenger's Raven Black, is very good, but it stains pens and it gets kind of permanent. But like Onyx cleaned right out of pens and still was like, oh my God. Plus it's diamine, so it's really cheap. You get a big bottle for like $20. But finally, I feel like I rediscovered the Musgrave Harvest Pro just because it came out when the red came out, and I'm like, I love the red so much. If I go for a Musgrave, I go for red. Now, I have a couple of vintage harvests that are like dreamy, but you know, I don't have a lot of them, so I ration it. But the Harvest Pro, like if they put a number 2.5 in that, might be like my forever pencil or one of them, because it's a little soft for working, but you know, whenever I'm marking up stuff for books, I always have one of those. Plus it's a sharp hex, but it won't run away on the table, and they're not expensive.
You just dig into your fingers, just permanent indents from
it's good to feel like if you're gonna hold, I don't know if you can see it, you're gonna hold it like this, just like,
oh yeah,
knock set up.
You know, they don't break for being so soft. Actually, this is a General's pencil. It did break for being so soft, but I mean, if you don't have any, get some. They're so affordable and cheap. They come in a cool box. Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Yes. I think most of my recommendations are books at this point. But if I was thinking about the kind of like book series that I always enjoy and come back to every year, usually around December each year, you get the Best American Food Writing series. And they actually just this year, they sold their publisher, and they combined the food writing and the travel writing submissions into one book, which I think honestly works okay. I think that food writing and travel writing could often be the same, but so this year, yeah, it is, I don't need to pull it up here. It is guest edited by Padma Lakshmi, which is fun. So she has a really good kind of story in the front. It's always really good, right? There's some
I love that whole series, just like the Best American series. Like,
I always read the Best American Science Fiction and Fantasy, and then also the Best American Food and Travel Writing. And there's a few others that I picked up too. Like, I think that there's like, I think there's a good music writing one, isn't there, Tim?
I actually don't know. I've not seen a music writing one. I like the short story one and the essay one I bought.
Yeah.
You know, now, and then there's I don't know if it's still going, but there was a mystery, like a best mystery stories.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's still a thing, but
I don't know what they're doing nowadays. Cause I know that they changed it up, but it was really good. There's just really interesting stuff. And I love how they take like, you know, there was one called My Catalina, and like, it seemed like maybe it was going to be about, you know, the islands off of like Los Angeles, but it's about like Catalina French dressing and how this was like her mother's
favorite, and how it's awesome. Like sort of the staple of like poor Midwestern households. And I was like,
that was my favorite as a kid.
I love a Catalina French dressing.
That's for sure. Yeah. Just bright red fluorescent sugar syrup.
So yeah, that's something every year I pick that up, and I would definitely recommend that. I was reading on the plane on the way to and from Hawaii.
Another couple books that really stuck in with me in my head this year. One is,
wasn't written this year, but it became a Netflix series this year, and people have just really been into it, is the Three Body Trilogy.
Yeah.
The Three Body Problem by Cixin Liu. And it is, yeah, I read that last year into this year, just because it's so long and it's really heavy. So good. Really good series of books. Just makes you kind of like think about like Earth and the vastness of space in a different way. There's no warp speed travel. There's no sort of like hyperspace drive. It's just like, oh yeah, these aliens are coming to evade, but
it's going to take 400 years.
My nephew, he's 13, just read that and was just like in love with it.
That's dense for a 13-year-old.
He's a smart kid. But I bought, so for Christmas, got him Project Hail Mary. It's like a follow-up. And
Anywhere would be a really good
75 pages, like the first day. He was just like plowing through it when we were there. So.
Yeah, that's really good.
Another one that's kind of the opposite end of the sci-fi spectrum that I just really love this year was Moonbound, which is a book by Robin Sloan, who is a localish guy. And he wrote, it starts off and you think it's fantasy. And as the world sort of like comes into view and evolves a little bit more, it kind of turns into sci-fi, but it's still very like fantasy-ish. And there's, a lot of reasons for it. It was really good. And I know that he intends to sort of make that a whole universe in which you can tell different stories. So definitely pick up Moonbound if you want just a little bit off the wall fantasy feeling science fiction book. My last recommendation for books is nonfiction and something that will be really relevant in the new year, come say mid-January. It's called Stories Are Weapons, and it is sort of about the history of disinformation and propaganda in the United States and how it's been used to, change hearts and minds, sometimes not for the better. It's pretty interesting. Annalie Newitz, who is a science fiction author and is like a science writer, they wrote it. And it came out earlier this year, so it's a good book. It's not uplifting, really, but it definitely has some interesting, just good pattern recognition that you can see when like misinformation is being weaponized and kind of used against you, and some ways to think about it and combat it. So it was pretty good, really relevant. And I guess along that same line, something that I talked about on this show months ago is that
one about
like nuclear wars. Hopefully.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hopefully that won't be relevant, but still just like, oh, I think about that all the time. So like y'all should know. Yeah,
that's
like, that one's going to fester.
Yeah. It sure is. And then, yeah, I guess the other recommendations I give is writing. But this has been for me a year of the Draplin, really just any tactile turns. I bought that sort of like Vice, Miami Vice tactile turn in the midnight color, and then also some Draplin collabs. I bought the blue one and the orange one, and I just use those a lot. I love that Draplin tactile turn. It's just so chunky and it feels real good with that big, like thick 1 millimeter, like black refill in there. And then, I was trying to think from this year if there's been any like really standout pencils. And I guess the like 746, the Golden Gate Bridge Blackwing I was a big fan of that one. Just, I mean, even if I didn't have sort of the San Francisco connection, I'd also think it was just really attractive. So that one's great. And I would continue to recommend it. It was the only one in a while that I bought two boxes of. Like, I got the one from the subscriber and then I bought another box. So yeah, that's a really good one. Cool. So that is it with Tools of the Trade. We're going to, I think briefly just, Tim, I was hoping you could kind of take the reins and talk a little bit about how you see this new segment to go. And then also I was thinking maybe we could talk a little bit about the notebooks we were going to use for this, because I have a weird one. So
yeah, So this is, I think the idea for this new segment to kind of mix things up came from a few different places. Part of it is from our conversation about the notebook.
Mm-hmm.
When we had Raleigh on, we were talking about, was it Zibaldoni or
Zibaldoni?
Zibaldoni. So that was like a similar idea. And we've talked about commonplace notebooks before, but this like meant to be like kind of a repository of stuff that you want to keep, like things that you read that you need to write down for yourself. So I think like the idea originally was that they would do that because that was the only way to keep it, because you can't make a copy, right? You can't like photocopy it. You can't copy and paste it into something. So you'd keep a notebook of just kind of like the things that you want to remember, stories you want to remember. So I thought it would be fun to kind of challenge each other, if you don't already, but like for the year, to kind of do that in a focused place. Like, and it could, I think that the topic could be anything. It could be from a book you're reading. It could be song lyrics. It could be something you heard, you know, from a friend or somebody you know, or just like write down quotes. It could be anything. And then each episode we would just like share a couple. So we're still working on a name for it. So it's coming from that conversation with Raleigh / like sort of stealing it with a little less, probably it'll probably be a little less entertaining stealing it from the Take Note fellas on their podcast. They kind of do something similar. They're just more of like,
guys, we're just stealing your ideas.
We write stuff down like throughout the week. And so it's just like little observations and things. I'm thinking of it more as like things that I want to write down for posterity specifically. Like things that I want to refer back to. Like I think the last things I wrote in mine, I have a quote from Bob Dylan, like where he was talking to Allen Ginsberg. I've got something from Marcus Aurelius's Meditations in here. I wrote down a poem by Adam Zagajewski, a passage from Cannery Row by Steinbeck. So just like it's a wide variety of stuff.
But yeah.
So I think start doing that in the new year and just something, and we'll think about like format and stuff, but if you want to join us,
yeah,
it's a fun thing to do and a good thing to do. Just kind of, it's almost like creating your own little greatest hits or something, you know, things that stick in your mind. Maybe it's a quote from a book about nuclear apocalypse.
Maybe,
you know, just for example.
It's not relevant.
Go ahead.
I think it'd be cool if, you know, we maybe over on Patreon, we post some, like some of our spreads from that book just for people to see. And as we develop in this practice and like grow, that would be a neat thing to watch.
We could even, you know, we've done like the pen stuff on Patreon. We could also do occasional Patreon episodes where we do a little bit more, like talk a little bit more about stuff that's in there. Could be interesting. But yeah, so if you want to join us, it'd be fun. And so my notebook, I already showed you earlier, but like the one that I'm using is the Write Notepad's classic lined journal.
Red,
my favorite.
Oh, you already started yours.
Well, I've had one going for a while, but like I've been really casual about it for like, I mean, I started, gosh, I wonder if I put a date in here. Well, I think I wrote it when I got this, but like a couple of years, I've only filled like 5 pages or something. So like, I haven't been like really diligent about it in here. I tend to end up, you know, I might get lazy and write stuff down in other places, but like, I just want to like focus back on this notebook and continue using it. So,
yeah. So if you want to do the challenge of using matching notebooks, I can make that happen.
Hey.
Before the new year.
I mean, I kind of had a really over-the-top fancy one to use that wouldn't match, but do you want to? So
use what feels right.
I talked about this on the show before, just when it came, but I haven't touched it because it is maybe the fanciest notebook I've ever bought. But it was the IA Writer notebook. If you remember this, I paid $87 in total for this because I'm stupid. I can do, if you want, now that we have video, I can do an unboxing of this. It is very fancy. So I got this box. This is a white kind of like slip cover with this really nice linen paper on this box. And you pull it out. This is a minimalist, like Japanese, like writing app. So it's very beautiful.
I had that app.
I decided to make a notebook.
I didn't realize they were like, yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
And they can only make them in like batches of 1,000 or something like that. So there's so few. So it comes in this like wood, this
little wood box.
And so you open that up and then there's like some like
a smaller wood box.
Yeah.
Notebook is actually micro-sized. it has some tissue paper on it. So you pull that out and it is this really just like white cover. It says The Notebook for Writers in English and in Japanese. And the pages, yeah, it's very thick. The pages are very lush and thick though. We try to open this up. And what's interesting about them is we'll see if we can see it, but the pages are blank, but there are lines that are watermarked in it. So
I don't think. Yeah. Did you see it a little bit?
Yeah.
So there,
it's awesome.
It's lined, but it's. Say again?
Is it laid finish?
It's not laid. It's
like, is it on both sides?
No, it's watermarked just inside. Like it's inside the paper. So this is why it took so long to make the stupid thing.
Dang.
It is
this picture in the chat of the notebook laying flat. Like, and that's pretty remarkable. Like that's
Yeah. It's really fancy. And I think maybe our pal Toffer told me about this because they always like message me whenever there's just like ridiculous notebooks. And I was like, oh gosh, I love iWriter. I might have to get this. So I may use this for a while as my commonplace book just because I need to actually use it or else it's going to just, I'm never going to touch it and
stay in that box.
And yeah, I'm just going to be guilty about it. So I'm thinking about making this my commonplace notebook.
Nice. What's the size of that book?
What size is this? This is pretty A6 size. It's 5¾ inches by 8¼. So a little bit.
I was like 8.5.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'll check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes, but I think they open another batch. So you might be able
to. I'm on the website right now and it's available to like add to your cart. It's just $75.
Okay. Yeah. It's so stupidly expensive.
144 sheets, 288 pages.
Okay. Yeah. So. That's the notebook I'm going to use for this.
Okay. Free shipping if you buy 3 or more.
Oh,
and if you take back the Qbert.
Hi, generous.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Johnny, how about you?
Well, I have this, I don't know if it's going to show up, this gray cloth bound book that is B6 that I made that is rounded and backed. And usually my journals aren't big enough to bother rounding and backing. So I'm going to give this a shot. It's like 400 pages of really sweet Japanese paper.
It's a lot of notebook.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I like that cover. Oh, cool. Great.
Thank you.
Well, we are doing this during the day, and one of us has a job. That's Tim, and he probably needs to jump off so we can probably wrap it up. So, yeah, stay tuned to the new year for that new segment. And, yeah, I would like to, thank you both of you guys for hopping on, and happy Christmas and happy new year to you both.
Yeah.
Happy
Christmas.
Happy also Christmas and New Year's to our Patreon producer level patrons. And over there on Patreon, you can also become one of them at patreon.com/erasable. You can see a video of this very recording. So thank you to Mikhail Tuzikoff, to John Schroeder, to Ellen MacTucker, Dana Morris, Liz Rotundo, Melissa Miller, Angie, Aaron Bullinger, Ida Umpers, Dave Johnson, Phil Munson, Valerie Drew, Kathleen Rogers, Dr. Hans Noodleman, John Wood, Tom Keekley, Andre Torres, Paul Moorhead, William Modlin, John Capaluti, Stephen Fensale, Aaron Willard, Millie Blackwell, Michael Dialosa, Tana Feliz, Anne Sipe, Michael Hagen, Chris Metzkis, and Mary Collis. You can find this episode and show notes at erasable.com/220. And you can find us on Facebook and on Blue Sky. At Erasable Podcast. Actually, no, on Blue Sky, we verified our domains. So our username is erasable.us there. So thank you very much, and we will catch you in the new year. Do you like our podcast? Most people like our podcast. But if you don't like our podcast, then we'll turn it off.